Kutasikhs Hilakir Aleph, Pekudei Aleph. By Pasuk, on the Pasuk which reads, Vayar Moshe is called a Malacha. Vayvarach Isa Moshe, Vagomer Vayvarach Isa Moshe. The Pasuk says, after the Yidin donated everything for the Mishkan, and then the Nedivei Lev, Bezalel, and those who knew how to use these materials to build the various different Kelim in the Mishkan, did that, and they placed everything before Moshe. So everything is ready to be put together. At that point, says the Pasuk, that Moshe saw what they did, and Moshe benched them. Moshe gave them a bracha. So Maitik Rashi quotes the words, it's Atevis, the words, Vayvarach Oysam Moshe, that Moshe blessed them. And Mefandash and Rashi explains, Omalehem, Moshe said to them, Yehi Rotzen, may be the will of Hashem, that the presence of Hashem should reside in your handiwork, in this Mishkan that you just placed in front of me, at least these kelim that were going to be erected as a Mishkan and placed in front of me. And then Rashi continues and quotes a pasuk in Tehillim in Kapitel Tzadik, which reads, which we say in Matzah Shabbos, V'hinoim Hashem alakeinu aleinu, let the pleasantness of Hashem, our God, be upon us, etc. V'goymer, etc. V'hu echad miyud alf mizboidim shebetil l'moshe. And this is one of 11 Kapitel Tehillim that come from Moshe Rabbeinu. So, to explain what Rashi means here, so Kapitel Tzadik opens up with Tefillah L'Moshe. From there, all the way till Kapitel Kuf Aleph, is originally from Moshe Rabbeinu. Kapitel Kuf Aleph opens up with L'David Mizmor. So from 90 through 100, you have 11 Kapitlach, which all begin with Tefillah L'Moshe. This is a Tefillah, this is a prayer for Moshe. So all of that is written by Moshe. We'll get into more details about that later, when the Rebbe comments on that, on this line. So, in brief, on the simple level, Rashi is basically just telling us what the bracha is. They put all the stuff in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's ready to be built. And the pasuk is going to go on to say that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that on the first day of Nisan, he should put it together. He should erect the Mishkan, which we'll talk about as well later. But at this point, when all the stuff is placed, when all the kelim for the Mishkan are placed in front of Moshe, Moshe benches them and says, may it be the will of Hashem that Hashem's presence should reside in what you've just made. And then he quotes a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu says, right? Because these psukim, these kapitlach and tilim are said by Moshe Rabbeinu from Tzadik through Kapitel Kuf, and this is in the end of Kapitel Tzadik, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Let the pleasantness of Hashem be upon us." That's the Rashi. This Rashi is telling us what the bracha is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden. Now, for this, the Rebbe asked the following questions. Torah love, we need to understand. Aleph, number one, Ma'we Akoshi Bavonis Akosav Zeh. What's lacking? What's not understood? What is unclear in the Pasuk? Shebishvil Loi, that for that reason, Hutzrech Rashi Lefarish Nusach Brachase. Then Rashi have to explain what the language, what the words of Moshe Ben Bracha. Had the Pasuk said that when they put everything in front of Moshe, Moshe benched them, would you have a problem with the Pasuk? No, everything's clear. Moshe benched them. When the Eden fulfilled the commandment of Hashem to donate and then to put all these things together, as the pasuk there describes clearly, that they did it exactly as Hashem told them to, and for this they are blessed, they are congratulated. And therefore, move a love, it would be self-understood what the content of the bracha would be. A congratulation. Well done, good work. But no sechshel in the parentheses, the Rebbe says, what it might have been. Asher matoiv, it's chulu. How lucky, how fortunate we are that we were commanded to do this and we got it done. Or yasher koyach, or something of that. Chiyetz b'zeh and the like, something that congratulates the Jews on a job well done, or something that expresses approval from Moshe Rabbeinu's, on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. So why does Rashi have to then explain what the specifics of Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha is? It's self understood. He's congratulating them, which leads to the next question, which leads to strengthening this question. And furthermore, is unclear. Rashi changes the simple meaning of the pasuk, which says vayivarech, and he benched them, from its literal meaning, just a blessing of congratulation. Because Rashi ends, he changes it and ends up teaching it. Not that he's blessing them in a congratulatory form. I keep on using the word congratulation, but it's more like greetings. Bracha is kind of like a greeting, as we'll see soon. Rashi, the Rebbe is going to point to elsewhere in the Torah where the term vayivarech is mentioned, and there it seems like a greeting type of thing. So in the context here, the greeting is a kind of congratulation. That's why I keep on using that word. But it's not as Rashi, or it's at least a simple reading, is not as Rashi says it. Shalei is b'loshin bracha, ki im b'loshin tefillah. It was a prayer. He's requesting something. where Rashi, with the line, where Rashi touches the pasuk, "Vayivaruch Hashem is a hidotzin," may be the will. So he's asking something of Hashem. It's a tefillah. It's a request. It's not a bracha. A request is you're asking that Hashem do something. A bracha, as we'll see, is more of a greeting. And in the context here, the greeting would have simply been, "Well done." Question number one. Question number two. Beis. Akdamas amalem. Rashi opens up with the words, Moshe said to them, L'chor miyuteres, it seems to be superfluous. The Pirusha in Rashi's commentary. She had because of Gufanim of Yavaruch Oysen, the Pasuk itself says, and he benched them. And Rashi quotes those words. Vayavaruch Oysen Moshe, and Moshe benched them. Yehidotzen. May be Hashem's will. He could have just went straight into that, and it would have read very clearly. He doesn't have to like reiterate what the Pasuk already said, that Moshe is speaking to them. Well, who else is he speaking to? Gimel. Question number three. Minol Elohaisif as a bracha Hashniyah. Why did Rashi add that second line, the second bracha, which comes from Tehillim? Where there it said, Vayinayim Hashem Alakenu, that may be the pleasantness of Hashem upon us. Yavta Moshe, the Matzina Shem Moshe Amar, even though it's true, the Pasuk, that Perek in Tehillim opens up with Tehillim Moshe, and Moshe indeed said it. Why is it important, or what's the necessity to say that that was said here and now? It could just be a general bracha, a general tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that let it be the pleasantness of Hashem's be upon us. And like the pasuk continues, that Hashem should support our masi deikun aleinu, that Hashem should support the work of our hand. Okay, so it's a bracha b'chlal. Why does it have to be said now when they place the Mishkan in front of Moshe? Where's the hechach to say that? What's the necessity to say that? Now, ba'af ima davar morchach, even if you were to tell me that for some reason we must say that the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to here, then Rashi should have left that, whatever his proof is, for why that pasuk was said now when the Mishkan is placed in front of him, whatever that proof is, leave it for his commentary on Tehillim. Why is it important for us here now, learning Parshas Pekudei, to know that a pasuk in Tehillim was said here? And Rashi, the Rebbe brings a proof in the parentheses for the fact that when something comes later, even if it's talking about an event now, if it's not important to know about it now, Rashi doesn't tell it to you. For example, Shlohevi Rashi Kama Parshas Pekudei ala Kosov, Rashi does not bring the commentary here in Parshas Pekudei on the pasuk b'chadash shishi b'chadash hukum ha-mishkan ma-shapirish b'reish parshas shmini al derech l'mashmini ki ein zebuchach kan. So in Parshas Shmini, where it opens up, Vayibei Mashmini, it wasn't the eighth day. So what's this eighth day? The eighth day of what? So explains Rashi there that the eighth day was the eighth day of the Miluyim. Right? For 7 days, Moshe and Aaron were being inducted into the service of the temple. They were building the Mishkan, bringing Karbanos. They were taking it down. They're building every day. They erected the Mishkan and took it down. And then finally on the eighth day, Vayibei Mashmini was the eighth day. That eighth day is the first day of Nisan, when the Mishkan was built, and when it's described here in our Parshas Pekudei that Mishkan was that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan or erected the Mishkan on the first day of Nisan. So over there Rashi comments and says that on this is the eighth day of the Miluyim. And Rashi goes on to say that on that day there were 10 crowns granted. You know, it was distinguished in 10 different ways. Doesn't say what the 10 are, but he tells you to look and say the Olam to find those 10 crowns referred to, not Eser HaTorahs. Now, these 10 crowns is also the same day described in Parshas Pekudei, the first day of Nisan, when the Mishkan was erected. But yet Rashi doesn't make that comment here, because it's not important to know that here. In Parshas Shmini, it is important to know that. You look at the Mepharshim, look at Sifsei Chacham, there he says that because the Pasuk says Hashmini, the eighth day, Behei Yedidei, as if we know already what that eighth day is, something's unique about that day. So Rashi adds and explains why, or whatever the other Mepharshim explain, why Rashi has to say that there. But you see already from here that there could be something about an event we're talking about now, but because it's not important to know now, it's not said. This fact that there were 10 crowns, 10 ways of distinguishing this day, that the Aleph Nisan, when Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan, which follows right after the pasuk we are analyzing now of the brachas of Moshe, Rashi does not comment and tell us what everything that happened that day. Later in Parshas Shmini, when it's important to know that, Rashi does comment. And therefore, the same question becomes here. Why does Rashi here in Parshas Pekudei need to tell us that a pasuk in Tehillim is said now, even if Rashi had a hechrach? Even if Rashi had some proof that the pasuk in Tehillim, V'hi Noyam, was said by Moshe Rabbeinu on the day that the Mishkan was erected, why is that important to know now here in Parshas Pekudei? Nothing in the Parshas Pekudei's Pshat is lacking that we need to know that he said Vayinoya. Dalit, question number 4. Sofas Vayinoya Mashon Lekeinu V'goymer. Why does Rashi add the word V'goymer, etc.? Shekavanos B'zeramas Tzirutz Kushi L'talmim Mulach. Where Rashi's intention is, this is a klal from the Rebbe, a few places, the Kota Sichas, from the Rebbe's Rashi Sichas, that Rashi will allude in various different ways to a question that Talmud Mulach means like a seasoned student might have. So Rashi's straightforward commentary is meant to address the Ben Chumash Lemekah, the 5-year-old intelligent student who's learning Chumash and have obvious questions. But then Rashi will embed in his commentary allusions for a student who is more seasoned and has some question that isn't outright and obvious, but if he's a good student then he knows and he's learned before, he might have this question. So Rashi adds the word v'goymer, etc., telling the reader, go look at the rest of the pasuk, and the rest of the pasuk is going to answer a question you might have had, that this seasoned student might have had. And if they're asked, Maya Kusha, what's the problem? What's missing? That's a venerable, seasoned student might ask, that Rashi needs to allude to through an answer that's found in the rest of the pasuk, and Rashi alludes to it by saying, v'goymer, etc. Hey, question number 5. Mamash min b'siyumay, v'hu echmi yud alaf b'zboidim sh'betil l'moshe. What is Rashi implying in his conclusion by telling us this piece of information that the Hinoyim happens to be one of the 11 kapitlach that Moshe Rabbeinu said? Manageya, ba'ot shekosav zehu b'sima mizmor shaltil l'moshe atzmai. Considering the fact that this pasuk actually arrives at the end of the first of these 11. Right, I mentioned before that Kapitel Tzadok opens up with Tzul Moshe, and then Kapitel Kuf Aleph opens up with the David Mizmor. So everything between, from Tzadok through Kuf, is all said by Moshe Rabbeinu. And this Pasuk V'Hinoyim comes at the end of Kapitel Tzadok, at the end of that first Kapitel, which is clearly said by Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, it's not as if you would have made the mistake and said, you know, maybe only Kapitel Tzadok was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, but the rest maybe wasn't said by Moshe Rabbeinu. As we'll see soon, there might even be such an opinion. But this line, Hinoyim, is in Kapitel Tzadok where it says Tfilah Moshe. So you wouldn't have made the mistake, to put it in different words. Had this Pasuk Hinoyim been in Kapitel Tzadok Ches, then Rashi would have to say, you know, this is one of the 11 Mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu said, because you wouldn't know from Kapitel Tzadok Ches alone that it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. You'd have to go back to Kapitel Tzadok to find out from Tzadok all the way through Kuf is from Moshe Rabbeinu. But this Pasuk comes at the Kapitel Tzadok itself, and that capital itself opens up with Tfilah Moshe, so you know already it's from Moshe Rabbeinu. So why does Rashi have to add that this is one of the 11 Mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu said? Open it up, you'll see it says Moshe Rabbeinu, Tfilah Moshe. And secondly, along the same lines, Mandagesh Yeshnam Yudalf Mizmorim with Tfilah Moshe, why B'chal is important to know that there's 11? The point is just that one was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, just capital Tzadok was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, with that line by Hinoyam. And the rest of them, if it wasn't said by Moshe Rabbeinu, it wouldn't change a difference to our pshats here. The point is that Vayhinoyam, this pasuk that arrives at the end of Parshas of Kapitel Tzadik, was said on the day that the Mishkan was placed in front of Moshe, where Moshe Rabbeinu gave the bracha that we're quoting in our Rashi. So why is it important to know that Moshe Rabbeinu said another 10? It's not important. It wouldn't change anything in the pshat here. Now the Avshal there is a Eitz of Medrash. Even though the Medrash says a similar thing, that there was 11 Mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Aval Aleph, number 1, you do a Shrashi Nimat Rashim Ki'im Mashin Gila Peshat Shemika. First of all, Rashi does not quote a Medrash unless it's important to know in the simple meaning of the Peshat. And here it doesn't seem like it's in the simple meaning to know that Moshe Rabbeinu said 11 Mizmorim. Beis Rashi in the case of Kan Kedis Medrash. Rashi doesn't say here that there's 11 Mizmorim as it states in Medrash. It creates some other language that Rashi sometimes uses, which would mean that if Rashi said something like this line comes from the Medrash, then that would mean you should know that what I'm about to tell you is a Midrashic kind of idea, but it's a Midrashic idea that fits well in Pshat. But from the fact that Rashi did not say that, she means a movement is understood, Shual Derech Pshat Mamish, it's actually literally the Pshat, not just the Midrashic idea that could be touched into the Pshat, but actually part of Pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu said 11. How so? Well, in Medrash Hamashim, Pshat Shemika, it's not simply a Medrash, as we just said, not just simply a Midrashic idea that fits the Pshat Shemika, but actually it's negate the Pshat Shemika. So these are the Rebbe's questions. And if you recap them briefly, number 1, B'chlal, what's wrong with the Pasuk? The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu benched the Yidin when they brought everything in front of him. had Rashi not commented anything, we would have just assumed that it's a congratulation, a job well done, Yasher Koyach, or something like that. Number one, not only does Rashi tell us what the bracha was, which seems to be self-evident, and Rashi doesn't need to say it, he changes it from a bracha to a tefillah. May it be Hashem's will that the presence of Hashem reside upon us. Question number one. Question number two is, why Emor Lahem, why repeat that Moshe Rabbeinu said to them? Who else is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to? We know that from the Pasuk. Question number three, where do we know, and how do we come to the conclusion that the second half of Rashi, where Rashi quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'hinoim Hashem Elokeinu, that may the Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, that may the pleasantry of Hashem be upon us, which is a pasuk from Tehillim, Kapitel Tzadik, which opens up with Tefillah LeMoshe, so we know Moshe is speaking. But how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu said that on the day that the Mishkan was erected? And even if we do know, why tell it to us here in Parshas Pekudei? Why is it important to Parshas Pekudei to know that a pasuk in Tehillim was said now? The pasuk would have been self-understood without that. Question number four is, Rashi, after quoting that pasuk, he says, V'hinoim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, he says, V'goymer, etc., telling us that in the rest of the pasuk, there is an answer to a question that a seasoned student might have. What's that question? Question number five is, why is it important for us to know that Moshe Rabbeinu said 11? The only thing that's important is that Moshe Rabbeinu said this one, this line. And this line comes right in the first of the 11, where it says clearly, Tefillah LeMoshe. So why is it important to know, Bechlal, that Moshe Rabbeinu said 11? Now, all these questions are self-contained to this Rashi. Now the Rebbe is going to compare this Rashi to a similar Rashi elsewhere and do a comparative analysis and see what the differences are and why there are changes between the Rashi here and the Rashi there. So let's see. Beis, v'inatechem pirsh Rashi, the same content that Rashi delivers here, which is bracha al sharas hashchina, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is blessing the Eden, that the presence of Hashem should reside in what they've done, who gam parshas Shmini, is also found in parshas Shmini. Ala kosev yetziv yivorech v'sa'am. This comes after the Shivas Bimaloyim, after the 7 days of as you mentioned before, when they built Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, and then they did Karbanas and they took it down, and they built it and took it down for 7 days, starting on Chaf Gimel Adar, ending on day number 8, Yom Hashmini, which was Aleph Nisan. So there, after that happens, and finally Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Eden, gather around, and the presence of Hashem is going to reveal itself to you today. After Moshe Rabbeinu, on the eighth day of building and rebuilding the Mishkan, so there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went out and benched the people, and there Rashi says again, Pirush Rashi, the first half of Rashi, says there, Amru v'hi noyam Hashem aleinu, may the pleasantry of Hashem be upon us, the same pasuk from the end of Kapitel Tzadik. And then Rashi continues, Yiratzin Shtishal Shinu B'Masyat Eichem, may be the will of Hashem that the presence of Hashem should reside upon you. So it's the same content. The same, generally speaking, the same bracha. The presence of Hashem should reside in what the Yidden have done is said twice. Once when they bring all the items in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's our parsha, that's our pasuk. And then again in Parsha Shmini, once it's already built, erected by Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of a whole 8-day process, and then again, Moshe Rabbeinu blesses them that that the presence of Hashem should reside in what they've done in the Mishkan. Now the Rebbe does a comparative analysis between the two Rashis. Tzarech lavin hashinuyim, we need to understand the following distinctions between the two Rashis. Aleph, hosam there in Parshas Shmini, hushmat asiyam b'ha'omar b'pirushay kan, the conclusion of quoting that pasuk, v'hinoyim Hashem alekeinu aleinu, wherever here Rashi says v'goymer, etc., and then Rashi says, and this pasuk is found in a kapitel, which is one of the 11 kapitel that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Rashi does not mention that there in Parshas Shmini. The Rebbe adds a parenthesis, even though one might be able to it would be difficult to press oneself, but you could, in theory, say that Rashi is not repeating himself and saying that this is one of the 11 mizmorim because you already knew that from Parshas Pekudei. But still, it should have been mentioned seemingly. Comparison number two. Hepech seder brachas. The order of the two brachas are reversed. Hasam amaskel there in Parshas Shmini begins v'hi noyam, quoting the pasuk in Tehillim. Lachas, only afterwards does he add, Yudotzei mipi Hashem's will, the presence of Hashem reside upon you. In our parsha, in Parshas Pekudei, the reverse. First, Rashi says, First, Moshe Rabbeinu says, as Rashi quotes it, may be the will of Hashem that the presence of Hashem be upon you. And then he quotes the Pasuk of Yinoya. So why the reverse order? Question number three, comparison number three is Hasam Kais of Omru. There in Parashat Shmini it says, Omru, they said, meaning Moshe and Aaron. Whereas Akan, it says, over here it says, Omer Lahem, he said to them. Right? We asked before, why does Rashi have to say Omer Lahem when it's obvious from the Pasuk itself that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Yidden? But over there, so, and Rashi, we asked that over here, why does he say that? Now, over there, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says, Amru, they said, without saying they said to them. Okay. Now we get into the beer. And the beer itself, as is often the case, is predicated on a more fundamental question in the psukim themselves. And then when we understand the more fundamental question in the psukim themselves, we then understand why Rashi had, what Rashi was addressing, and then we see how all the specific details that ever pointed out in Rashi are there to answer the underlying question that we had in the pasuk, namely, Tabir, the explanation is Akushi, because Sov, who Biksuvim Elo. So the question in the pasuk is, Biksuvim Elo, and these psukim, Misupra, Derech Mara, Seis HaMishkan, Kalev. As you noted before, these psukim are referring to just at the conclusion when the Yidden finally finished putting together, donating and then putting together all of the Kalim for the Mishkan, and the Mishkan itself, before it was erected by Moshe Benu. Who really built it? The Yidden donated. But after the Yidden donated, the people who had the knowledge and the know-how, Betzalel and others, who knew how to take these materials and fashion all the Kalim and fashion the Mishkan, they're the ones that did all this stuff. And because the Pasuk then concludes and says, and Moshe blessed them, without specifying who, so one might have thought, or it would seem to be implied, that when the Pasuk says, and he benched them, it would refer to the them who just finished doing what we're talking about. And who just built, who just put together the stuff? Who put the menorah together? Who put the took the gold, made it into a menorah, not a menorah, made it into an aron or a shulchan or a mizbeach and all these things. It was the Chachmei Lev, it was these unique people who were able to do this, these talented artists. And because the Pasuk doesn't specify who Moshe benched, just by saying bench them, you would assume it's talking about the people who were most recently mentioned. Them? And therefore comes the question, we had to move on. So the following is understood. Lama lebech Moshe kol Yisrael, why didn't Moshe bench everybody? So had Rashi not commented, you would have, one might have made a mistake of thinking that when the Pasuk says that Moshe benched them, it's referring specifically to these talented individuals. And so, and the question would become, why didn't Moshe bench everybody? Kasha kol ish v'ish nadav libam. All men and women donated. V'viu es ha-malacha l'mishkan. And they brought all the stuff to the Mishkan to be made into the Mishkan. And the footnote Rashi says, "Rei Pirush Rashi Parsha Seinu Lamedches Chavav Menigel Tumis Adonim Shkolach Tzurach Nasan Chulu." There, the pasuk is describing the amount of silver that was collected as a result of the half shekel that was going to be used for making the sockets to hold up the Mishkan, to hold up the Krashim, the Adonim. And there, Rashi makes the calculation of how the exact number of Yidden that gave the half shekel reached the exact number of silver needed for the Adonim. So, which clearly indicates that in Rashi's view, every single person gave, because Rashi gets it down to the ounce, to the half shekel. So, all Yidden did were involved in the process of making these things for the Mishkan. Men and women, as the Pasuk says, that the men came along with them, and as Rashi explains there, the men and women came together to give their stuff, meaning the women, even though they weren't obligated to, but did it anyway, to the point that an announcement was made, don't do anymore. Only then did the Yidden stop bringing. So people were very enthusiastic about donating to the Mishkan. And yet, the Pasuk, without Rashi's commentary, would seem to imply by Baruch Oysa Moshe, Moshe blessed them. Who's the them we're talking about? The people who just put it together. Only those talented artists. What happened to blessing and the bracha for everybody? And Rashi says, the Rebbe says, Moshe Rebbe Oyv Yisrael Hoya. The Gemara Menachas tells us that Moshe Ben was Oyv Yisrael. Loved Yidden. So certainly Moshe Rabbeinu should have benched every single Yid, not just the artists. Not only once these artists finished, meaning it would have taken time from when, you know, the Yidden donated their stuff right away, and then it would take time for the artists to build all the stuff out of the materials, and then the bracha only comes afterwards, after they finish doing all this stuff, which is the oisim, the them we're talking about, these artists. which would mean that Moshe Rabbeinu ignored 90%, 99% of Yidden, most Yidden, the majority of Yidden, who donated wholeheartedly to the Mishkan. No bracha, no congratulations, no thank you. And only at the end, when these few artists get the job done, then he says thank you. Then he brach, then vayivaruch oisam. So v'ledek Hashem chachmei lev gomru asis Mishkan shem yechidei skola, which are all unique people. Ra kara Hashem b'shem. The pasuk even said that Hashem called out these specific people who are very unique and very artistic, special, talented people, and these are the only ones who get the bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rebbe says like this. The Rebbe says you might think of a way to answer this question, namely, even if you would suggest. In the very pasuk which describes Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, the pasuk we're quoting here, the pasuk there says that as Hashem commanded, Kain osu oisak asher tziva Hashem Kain osu, that they did it as Hashem commanded. And the pasuk actually says Kain osu b'nei Yisrael, indeed that's how the b'nei Yisrael did it. So one might. So from the fact that Rashi didn't say that when the pasuk says that this is what the Bnei Yisrael did, it's limited to the artists. So the implication is that the Bnei Yisrael here refers to everybody, just on the simple level, refers to all Yidden. So let's just I'm gonna skip the parentheses now because it's a little bit of a sidetrack, and go to the rebuttal and then come back to the parentheses. So what's the suggested answer? The suggested answer here is the pasuk itself, before it gets to the words, Vayivaruch Oisam Moshe, the pasuk itself says that Kain Osu B'nei Yisrael, this is what the B'nei Yisrael did. Rashi doesn't say that B'nei Yisrael refer to the specific unique artists, and therefore one might say the B'nei Yisrael means everybody. So don't tell me Vayivaruch Oisam and Hashem benched them refers only to the artists. Vayivaruch Oisam refers to Kain Osu B'nei Yisrael, right there in that pasuk. The Oisam, the them, is referring to the B'nei Yisrael, all of them. Now, the Rebbe rejects this answer because, again, skipping the parentheses, we'll get back to that. So maybe if you want to say that Vayivaruch Oisam and Moshe benched him refers to Kain Osu B'nei Yisrael, refers to all Yidden, that would mean that Moshe Rabbeinu did not bench the Yidden for bringing the malach, for bringing the donation right away. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu withhold saying thank you to the Yidden, giving a bracha, congratulating them, for a whole, almost a half a year? How do we get to a half a year? So there, in the footnotes in 15, tells us to look in various different Rashis, where there Rashi says, at least in Rashi Shitta, the command for building the Mishkan came right after Yom Kippur, after the Yidden were forgiven for the Chayta Egel, and right away the Yidden started donating, which means the donations happened right away. And yet the bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu to the thank you to them doesn't happen. Only after the rest of the Yidden who finished donating willingly, but at Divus Hashem, the highlights, they willingly donated all their stuff to the Mishkan. No thank you, no comment. Only afterwards, months later, when the artists finished doing their job and putting it all together, then Vayivaruch Oisam. So, meaning, even if you suggest that Vayivaruch Oisam and Moshe Rabbeinu bench them doesn't just refer to the few unique artists, but it refers to all Yidden, because the pasuk there says Kain Osu B'nei Yisrael. Even so, that the problem would still be, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu bench them right away when they donated, instead of waiting for the artist to do the job with their donation? So for months and months, Yidden have donated, and no comment, no congratulation, no acknowledgement. Now let's go back to the parentheses. Now in the parentheses, Rebbe addresses what a possible answer or a possible refute could have been to the suggested answer. The suggested answer that the Rebbe just rejected was that when the pasuk says Kain Osu B'nei Yisrael, this is what the Yidden did, refers to all Yidden. From the fact that Rashi did not specify that it means just the artists. Now Rebbe suggests another rejection, but negates that rejection, namely, V'av shavak chach melev osu es ha-mishkan. The pasuk says Kain Osu B'nei Yisrael. This is what the B'nei Yisrael did. This is what the B'nei Yisrael made. Osu, coming from the word asiyah, they made. So one might have said that from the fact the pasuk says Kein asu bnei Yisrael v'afshadakach melev asu es haMishkan. Only the artists are the ones who made the Mishkan. They didn't donate it. They didn't make it. So if that's the case, when the pasuk says Kein asu bnei Yisrael, one might have said, well, that's limited to the chach melev, limited to the artists. And therefore, v'yivarech oisem Moshe, even if it's not a reference to the artist spoken about earlier, but it's referring to the very line of the pasuk, which says Kein asu bnei Yisrael, the fact that the pasuk uses the word asu, made, means only talking about those who made the Mishkan, namely the artists, and therefore not all Yidden. But the Rebbe rejects this way of learning the word asu. This way of learning the word asu, to limit asu, to just the artists who made it, and excluding the rest of the Yidden who donated, the Rebbe rejects that. How so? Metar zerashi pirusha al pasuk vateichal. Earlier in the pasuk, earlier meaning here we're talking about the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave when the Yidden finally gave everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. So earlier, a few pasukim earlier, when it says that the Yidden completed all the work, all the avoda, all the work of the Mishkan, and the Yidden did everything that Hashem commanded. So Rashi there comments. The pasuk here. Vayasu bnei Yisrael, and the Yidid es hamalacha, the work, asher kachol asher shiva Hashem, that Hashem commanded them to do. Which means, the vayasu, the word vayasu, and they made bnei Yisrael, the Yidin made, kaya malacha refers to malacha, work. What's work? The pirusha le'il, earlier, umalecha sava, earlier, when the pasuk tells us that the Yidden donated too much, and they were told by Malacha, Yisadayim, and the work was enough, and they were told to stop. Which Malacha? Says Rashi, Malacha Sava, the work of bringing. Which means, Malacha work includes bringing donations. And that is what's referred to in the pasuk earlier, which is Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'tzitzi, and the Yidden did. The same word asu, and therefore now in the pasuk, when the pasuk says again, Kein asu b'nei Yisrael, this is what the b'nei Yisrael did, and then it says that he benched him, it's talking about the same asiyah, the same doing referred to earlier in this very discussion, where there it says, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, Yidden did, and there Rashi says, Vayasu means the malacha. And what's malacha? Said Rashi earlier, when the pasuk said, the malacha ha'isadayim, it says the malacha sahava, the bringing. That would mean that Malacha includes within it donating, bringing the materials, and this malacha, which includes donating, is included in the word vayasu and done. And therefore, when the pasuk says Kein asu bnei Yisrael, don't suggest that because the word asu is there, made, and therefore it's limited to those who actually made it, because asu includes malacha, which includes donating. And therefore, it's not referring to simply the avoda of the building, but actually the malacha, which incorporates also the bringing. Now, there's a beautiful footnote here in the bottom. Foot 14. This comment of Rashi that we just quoted in Pasuk Lamed Beis, which says, "Vatechel kol avodas Mishkan oil moyed." That they finished the work of the Mishkan, and the Yidden did everything that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem commanded Moshe that they did. So Rashi comes, "V'asu b'nei Yisrael," and the b'nei Yisrael did esa malacha, the work. So the Mefarshim ask, well, the work, obviously. Well, what's Rashi adding? "V'asu b'nei Yisrael esa malacha," it's redundant. But now we understand why. Because the word vayasu, and they did, and they made, actually ordinarily would only imply building something, making something, and the Yidden didn't make anything. They only donated. Only the artist made. So therefore, Rashi says, Vayasu, when they did, doesn't just mean making, it means any malacha. Now you'll see earlier I told you that v'malacha isadayim, that the malacha was enough. Malacha included the malacha of bringing, malacha sahava, the work of bringing it. And therefore, this Rashi is not redundant. It's not a repetition of the pasuk. The pasuk is vayasu oisem esam vayasu kol bnei Yisrael esam malacha. It's not redundant, because vayasu would have meant specifically making. But by the fact that Rashi says esam malacha, that vayasu means they did the work. The work includes even donation, as you saw before in the pasuk, which is when the pasuk says vamalacha isadayim, and the work was enough, and they were told to stop donating. That's talking about their donation. getting back to where we are in the Pnimiyus Sicha, the point they've made is that the reason why you can't say that the bracha is limited to, even if you're going to teach that Yevorach Oisin, that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu bench them, them refers to Cain also Bnei Yisrael in that very pasuk mentioned earlier. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu Taka did bench everybody, but the Rebbe rejected this idea. The Rebbe asked, if that's the case, why did Moshe Rabbeinu wait so long to congratulate the Eden? Why not congratulate the Eden right when they donated? Why wait for the artist to finish doing their work and then thank them? And therefore, says the Rebbe, if we must say, if we must say that bracha, in the sense of congratulation, in the sense of a job, acknowledging a job well done, that happened right away. It happened right away. As soon as they donated, Moshe said thank you. It's so obvious. If they brought the stuff to Moshe Ben, Moshe Ben is standing there and greeting them as they bring their gift wholeheartedly, of course Moshe Ben thanked them. The Pasuk didn't need to mention it. Or reverse, Leidach Gisa, on the other hand, it's so obvious that they should donate happily, Shein Tzarech L'Nisir Shakarach, they don't even need to be congratulated. Be congratulated for doing something so obvious. To my Kamal Ashman, congratulations for what? For donating? Of course you're donating to the Hashem. Why wouldn't you? After Pshita Shagomar Nachas Ruach B'machshava V'regesh Moshe Ben Al-Shalom, even though, obviously, in Moshe Ben's feelings, he was very happy that they did what he told. Like the Rebbe points to Al-Derech Pershash B'Tevis Nichayach in footnote 16, where Nichayach is Nachas Ruach L'Fonesh Amayti V'Naseh Etzayni. It's a pleasant and it's a joy when one asks and the job is done. And not possible referring to Hashem, here referring to Moshe Ben. So certainly Moshe Ben was happy when they brought their donations. But either Moshe Rabbeinu thanked them on the spot, because obviously he would have, or completely in the reverse, it's so obvious that the donor doesn't even need to thank them, because of course they're donating. Now if that's the case, if Moshe Rabbeinu already benched them, or didn't need to bench them, if he already thanked them, or he didn't need to thank them, then what's the special Vayivarech Oisim here? Which is Dafka after the Chachmei Lev did their job. After the artists turned the donations into the Kalim and the object of the Mishkan, the items of the Mishkan. And therefore, Moshe kan mefarish b'varech oisam. Moshe, and the fact that the Pasuk says now that Moshe Rabbeinu benched them, tzarech liyish, is a loy bracha. Therefore, must not be a regular, ordinary bracha, nesinis hashakoyach, a congratulation, a thank you. Ki'im bracha miyuchedes, it must be a specific bracha for having completed the job. Which is why the Pasuk had to specify it. In other words, the bracha, the thank you, either didn't need to be said or was obviously said. But either way, the Pasuk has to tell us about it. But the fact that the Pasuk is coming along and after they donated and after the Nedivei Lev built the Kalim with the materials that were donated, then comes the Pasuk and says, Vayivarech Oisem, there must be something unique here, beyond just an ordinary congratulation, or beyond just an ordinary thank you. And this thing must be Ashayeches, the Gemara Seis HaMishkon. Must be connected to specifically the conclusion, the fact that they finished it now. And not just because they were involved in doing it. In footnote 17, there it says, Al-Derech Beis Brachas Yaakov Leparei, Vayigash Yudzayin Zayin Yud Aleph. It should really say Mem Zayin. It's Perek Mem Zayin, not Pasuk Yud Zayin, not Perek Yud Zayin. It's Perek Mem Zayin. Shetarech M'shenek Epir Shashashon. So over there it's talking about when Yaakov first arrives in Mitzrayim, after Yosef is there, and Yosef becomes the viceroy, and after predicting the years of famine and the years of plenty and the years of famine, so Yaakov arrives, and when Yosef first introduces Yaakov to Paroi, the Pasuk says Vayivarech Yaakov, and Yaakov benched him. And there Rashi says, it's Shila Shalom, it's a kind of greeting, like, hello, how are you? It's polite, you meet somebody, you greet them. And that's what Vayivarech Oisem means there. And then Paroi and Yaakov have exchange a few words over a few psukim, and then when he leaves, the Pasuk says Vayivarech Oisem again. And there Rashi comments again, what's the Vayivarech Oisem? Like most people, when you say goodbye, when you leave, you Netzil Shoshos, like you ask the king permission to leave, and you offer the proper greetings. And then Rashi concludes and says, what's the Teichon of the Bracha? The Bracha was that the Nilus, that the Nile should rise to Paroi, right? The Egypt doesn't live off rain, they live off the water from the Nile. And Yaakov benched Paroi that the water of the Nile should rise to greet him. So there you see that the two brachas were actually different, even though the Pasuk uses the same words. When he first meets them, it's just a greeting. She'ilah Shalom. But then when he leaves, it's a proper greetings of goodbye, but at the same time there's an actual bracha where he blesses him that there should be something, gives him a bracha that something should happen to him, something should happen for him, that the nilah should rise for him. So likewise here, there's one bracha that either didn't happen because it wasn't needed, or the pasuk doesn't tell it us because it's so obvious, which is it's a congratulation, thank you very much, job well done to the Yidden. But now when the pasuk specifies the Vayivarach Oysa Moshe, that there was a unique special bracha having now concluded making it before it was erected by Moshe later. So therefore the pasuk says Vayivarach Oysa, must be something unique and special here. And that's why Rashi does it as a tefillah, not just an ordinary bracha. And this is what Rebbe told him to say. Because Hashem's blessings are measure for measure, the way a person invests, that's the way Hashem responds. Likewise, the midah of Hashem here is based on the B'nai Yisrael, also in response to what the Yidden have done. The reason why the Yidden put all this effort into making the Mishkan is that they should bring the presence of Hashem here. L'chein, therefore, Pirush Rashi explains, therefore, Rashi says that the bracha here is not an ordinary congratulation, because that would have happened right when they donated. And that would have been for all Yidden. The bracha here is a unique, special tefillah connected to the fact that they've now accomplished everything they have to accomplish. Everything Yidden had to do, they did. From then going forward, it's Moshe and Aaron's job. The Shivas Memeluyim and Yom Hashmini, that was all now Moshe and Aaron's job. So as far as the Yidden is concerned, they did everything. So now that they've concluded everything they've done, and what were they doing it for? They were doing it with the hopes that Hashem's presence should rest in the Mishkan. So Moshe says, not just the thank you, which would have been covered already before, or not needed at all, but rather Moshe is telling them, you finished your job. May it be Hashem's will that what you want out of this job should happen. The presence of Hashem should reside eventually in the Mishkan when it's later erected. And this is where Rashi has to preface and say, Emel Lehem. He said to them. He's not just repeating the Pasuk and not just telling us who Moshe spoke to. We know who Moshe spoke to. The Pasuk says he spoke to the Yidden. The reason why this bracha is b'chal mentioned in the pasuk is because it's not an ordinary congratulation, an ordinary thank you, an ordinary thank yasher koyach. Ki'im amar davar negel lahem. He said something important to them, meaning he's not just addressing by Rashi saying emel lahem. He spoke to them. What Rashi is telling us is that what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is not generic. If it were generic, it's just what you always say. But the fact that he said to them, it means it's something that they are concerned with. It's something they want, and Moshe is addressing them and their concern. Something which is in accord to what they have just invested in and what they want, which is the presence of Hashem. That Hashem's presence should reside in what they've done. This concludes the explanation of the first half of the pasuk. That from the fact that the pasuk says Vayivarach Oisem and Moshe benched them, it can't just mean a simple congratulations, because that would have happened as soon as they donated. It couldn't just be a simple thank you. It must be something unique. And therefore, it's something Emar Lehem, he says to them, addressing them and their concern. And their concern is, we've done everything we can. It's all done now. We're waiting for Moshe to do the rest of the job. So now Moshe is telling them, giving them a bracha in the sense of a tefillah, in the sense of a request, that, you know, may it be Hashem's will that everything you want out of this should happen for you. Namely, the presence of Hashem should dwell in the Mishkan. And therefore, this explains what's bothering Rashi, why he has to comment. Because the question is, why B'chalal does have to say Vayivarach Oisem here, when seemingly he would have thanked them earlier, if it's just a simple thank you? And now we address why it says Emar Lahem, because Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing their specific concern and not just a generic bracha. Now let's get to the next half of the Rashi, where Rashi quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim, Vayinayim Hashem Alekeinu Aleinu, the Pasuk in the end of Kapitel Tzadik and Tehillim, the Tehillim Moshe. And if there is this, Omnam, however, it's our love, we have to understand. The pasuk says, Rashi explains, that the Yidden were incapable of erecting the Mishkan. They did everything they could. Now they needed Moshe to do the rest. So Hashem says to Moshe that he should involve himself. He should put his hand there, and it will be erected by Moshe Rabbeinu's involvement. Now, that's the case. Even though the Yidden exerted themselves in donation, giving everything they had to the point they were told to stop, and then the artists with their skill making the kelim And Moshe Rabbeinu only had to just do a little involvement, to put his hand there, and then the Mishkan was erected. And it's talk about Achakach, and Moshe Rabbeinu's job only happens later, right? Because this is when this bracha happens, when they give everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. And only after does Hashem say to Moshe, you're going to build it on the first of Nisan. And therefore, v'ein b'chasim shava, and therefore, the bracha for, you know, like the desire or the investment on the Yidin's part that the presence of Hashem should be there isn't the same, at least as far as this is concerned, for Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval tzarech li is gamkin bracha l'Moshe, l'achet brech b'nei Yisrael, bracha kolos gam masis b'nei Yisrael. There ought to be a bracha that doesn't just include that the Yidin's effort should bear fruit, that the presence of Hashem should be there, but also Moshe Rabbeinu's effort should bear fruit, because he also had to build. He was also involved in making the Mishkan. Until Moshe Rabbeinu did his involvement in erecting the Mishkan isn't erect. So even though it's true that the Yidin put all that effort in, but their effort isn't done and completed until Moshe Rabbeinu does that last bit. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's little involvement, or his involvement in erecting the Mishkan, is what completes all of their efforts. Ma'isya dechem de bnei Yisrael, the work, handiwork of the Yidin. So if you're going to bless the Yidin, that the work of their labor should bear fruit, the presence of Hashem should be there, it should include the next stage, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's involvement. And therefore, Mefarish Rashi de nachanami. And Rashi says, yes, indeed. Moshe Rabbeinu did include himself in the bracha. He thanked them, he blessed them that what they are doing should bear fruit, and with all their efforts should bear fruit with the presence of Hashem. But then he also included himself in that the stage he is about to do, erecting the Mishkan, should also bear the fruit in concluding all of their efforts. And this is where, which is why Rashi quotes from Tehillim. Maybe because we find that this same content, where Moshe Rabbeinu says that maybe the will of Hashem, the presence, may be the will of Hashem that His presence, the presence, that Shechinah of Hashem reside. We find that also in a pasuk, which is Vayinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, that the presence of Hashem should be, that the pleasantry, Noyam, the pleasantry of Hashem should be rest upon us. Sho'un Yinasar Shechinah, which is the same thing as the presence of Hashem. The Shechinah. El Shechinah B'lashin Chachamim. The term Shechinah is the term used by our sages. Hashem Elokeinu B'lashin Akasav. Hashem Elokeinu, about our Lord, is the term of the pasuk. But it's the same idea that Hashem's presence should rest. U'b'brachazu, and in this bracha, Shechinah Kras Tfilah, which is called the prayer, right? Because we already proved before that this Vayivarach Oysam of our pasuk is not an ordinary bracha of congratulation or of thank you, but rather a bracha ke'en tula, a bracha that's a prayer where Hashem, where Moshe is asking that their effort should bear fruit, is exactly the same as Vayihi Noyam, let the pleasantry of Hashem be upon us, which is also a tefillah. Because that mizmor opens up with the kapitel tzadik, opens up with tefillah Moshe, which is lo nisin seshkar karech yitzbe, which is not a thank you or the like. And over there, I call Moshe's atzmi moim. Moshe includes himself in this tefillah. Sha'omer aleinu. He says, upon us. Footnote 20. Even though this bracha has been mentioned before, Kapasha says, Kosov, as the order of the pasuk goes, this bracha was mentioned before that it was erected. It was mentioned, as we mentioned a number of times, this bracha was said when the Eden finished built, making this stuff and brought it to Moshe before it was erected. So it was before Moshe's effort. But nonetheless, which would seem to imply that the pasuk v'hinoyim Hashem alakenu aleinu, that let the pleasantry of Hashem rest upon us, including Moshe Rabbeinu in this effort, seems more appropriate after Moshe builds, or after Moshe erects, not at this juncture before he did that. Nonetheless, says the Rebbe, Hari habracha, this blessing v'hinoyim, let it be the pleasant of Hashem aleinu upon us. He b'loshan us, it is in the future tense. So in other words, what comes out is like this: that first the way Rashi is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha in the way that we just described it. First, Moshe Rabbeinu says, may be the will of Hashem, Omer Lahem, he's addressing them and their concern. May be the will of Hashem that all of your effort bear fruit. And then, may be the will of Hashem in future tense, that once I have done my part in erecting it, may Noyam Hashem Elokeinu, may the pleasantry of Hashem be aleinu upon us, including himself, in the future tense of when he will have done his last part in concluding their efforts in erecting the actual Mishkan. And therefore, says the Rebbe, v'zeh shemesayim Rashi, this is what Rashi concludes in saying, v'hu chulub mizmorim shebetfilah Moshe, that this is one of the 11 kapitlach that Moshe Rabbeinu himself said. Behind this means to say, now you understand why it's important for Rashi to tell us that this pasuk was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Shekim Tzimushim before Shabbat Tzvila Moshe. Because we find clearly that in the Moshe, in his prayer, in his tefillah, at the end of Kapitel Tzadik, Bracha Allah Shar Hashchina Shaychas LaMishkan, we see that he's asking for the presence of Hashem to rest upon us. V'shagam hu atzmai b'chlal, and he includes himself, Aleinu, V'kan, haya mukhlem v'shayis ha-bracha b'toichin z'kazeh. Here in our pasuk, we must say that the bracha was a request-type bracha, a tefillah-type bracha, as we explained before, because otherwise, if it's just a congratulation, it shouldn't be said here. It should be said as soon as the Yidden bring the stuff, as soon as the Yidden donate. Or it doesn't have to be said at all, because it's so obvious, why do they need a thank you? But for whatever reason, for either of those two reasons, when the pasuk says, v'yivarach oisam, as we finished explaining earlier, it can't be an ordinary bracha, it has to be a tefillah. And therefore, the maiden sosim and meforish, we can compare that which is uncertain from that which is certain. In our pasuk, it's clear that a bracha of request that the presence of Hashem should rest upon our work is definitely said at the time when the Yidden donated, because the pasuk is vayivarach oisam, and that must mean a bracha of request. Now, if that's the case, and we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking as well elsewhere, a bracha that includes him, a bracha of request that the presence of Hashem should rest upon us, including himself, Aleinu, therefore we can say that those two things happen at the same time, because they're the same toichin. They're both asking for Hashem's presence to rest upon. Here we know for sure that it happened on the time when the Yidden brought everything to Moshe Rabbeinu after it was done, as we finished proving earlier. And therefore we compare these two things and say they belong together, even though the pasuk in Tehillim isn't clear about when it was said. But by comparing it to here, where it is clear that it was said on when the Yidden brought everything to Moshe, so too would be over there, given their content are the same, especially considering the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu includes himself there. And over here, it's missing the part where he includes himself. And thus, combining these two things, we have the full bracha. Moshe Rashi adds, Ach v'nim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. After Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Vayinayim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Elokeinu Aleinu, let the pleasantry of Hashem be upon us," Rashi says, "V'goymer," etc. And we asked at the beginning, why is Rashi alluding to us that we should look at the rest of the pasuk? What question would a seasoned student have for which Rashi is telling him to look at the rest of the pasuk? Namely, "Ve'im yukshat talmud mulach," if this salted, the seasoned student were to ask, even because Moshe Rabbeinu said, "May be the will of Hashem, the presence of Hashem be yidatz and shetishchinah b'maisei deichem, that the presence of Hashem should rest in your hand." The bnei Yisrael the Eden. How do you know that the pleasantry of Hashem should be upon us, including Moshe Rabbeinu, when seemingly just finished saying maisei deichem, your words, your work, bnei Yisrael's work? And therefore Rashi says, "Shirehem shechakasav." Look at the rest of the pasuk, where there it says, "Maisei yadenu," the work of our hand. Meaning to say that Maisei yadechem isn't enough for the building of the Mishkan. There has to be Maisei yadenu. Maisei yadechem, meaning just the work of the Bnei Yisrael, is not enough. There has to be Maisei yadenu. In other words, the pasuk there says that the presence of Hashem should be upon us, including Moshe Rabbeinu. In reference to what? In reference to, as the rest of the pasuk says, Maisei yadenu, our work. Meaning to say that this bracha of the presence of the Shekhinah coming down has to include both Maisei Yadeichem, the work of the Yidin, but also Maisei Yadeinu, our work, what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing as well. And therefore Rashi says, "V'goymer," go look over there. If you think it doesn't include Moshe Rabbeinu's Maisa, if you think that the bracha for asking Hashem's presence to rest upon us does not include Moshe's work, you'll see the pasuk that concludes Maisei Yadeinu, our work, Moshe and the Yidin's work. Then it continues. The final thing we need to address is why Rashi says that this is one of the 11 mizmorim. Before we get to the comparative analysis to the Rashi and Shmini, we need to understand why Rashi says that this mizmor is one of the 11 mizmorim. We know why it says that. We know why Rashi says it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, because we need to prove that Moshe Rabbeinu included himself in this bracha. So when we say that Vihinoyim was quoted by Moshe Rabbeinu, Tefillah Moshe, we know that Moshe is doing a request, a bracha that's a tefillah, a bracha that's a request, that the presence of Hashem be upon us. And we know that this bracha that may the presence of Hashem be upon us includes Moshe Rabbeinu's work and the Eden's work. Because the pasuk says, because Rashi says, "V'goymer," etc., "Maisei yadenu," our work, which includes the Eden's work and his work. But the question becomes still, why did Rashi say that this is one of the 11 mizmorim that one of the 11 kapitlach that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Why is it important here to know that that there's 11? Seemingly it's just enough to know that this one was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. So said the Rabbah, Avaduk shel Talmud, but the student might ask, how do you know that the pasuk v'hinayam, the concluding lines of Kapitel Tzadik, may the pleasantry of Hashem be upon us, how do you know Moshe Rabbeinu said it b'chal? Rather, on the contrary, it seems to be the opposite of what's said earlier in that very kapitel, where there it says, Shinoisa behem shinim shivim goymer shmoinim shoma, that a person's life is 70 years or 80 years. And therefore, we know already that Moshe was only 80 years old when the Eden came out of Mitzrayim. And this is already after Matan Torah, and after the Eden donated everything, and after the artists made everything. And therefore, much old, over 80. Valderes and Miriam Ba'aron, as well as Miriam Ba'aron, were older already, because they're both older than Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yishleimar, she'zeo gametam ya medrish, she'yisrael om v'inoyam, Hashem alakenu. There's a medrish, you can see footnote 22, the sources, where there it says that that the Mizmar Tzadik was said, Kapitel Tzadik was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Pasuk says Tila Moshe, but the end, v'yinoyam, that line is not Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, but actually the Yidden speaking, which would make sense, because at some point it can't be talking about Moshe Rabbeinu anymore, because Moshe Rabbeinu is over 80 years old. And there the Pasuk says that the person lives 70 or 80 years. And therefore they're suggesting that maybe that's not the reason why the Medrash comes to that conclusion. But the Rebbe says, look in footnote 22 in the parentheses after the citations, Aval Harsh Barash Shvus, God is Kam Teres Kalinim Kipirushi Al Tera Khan. Rashi over there in Shavuos, where there talks about the Rashir, talks about song, and there Rashi quotes Teres Kalinim, and there he says, Taka, that it's one of the 11, which means the Rebbe's suggestion that the Medrash is saying that there are some Medrashim, the Sefri, that says that Vihinoyim was not said by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather by the Yidin. In Rashi's version of Teres Kohen, that's not true. Because in Rashi's version of Teres Kohen, it would be all 11 said by Moshe Rabbeinu. Back to the main point here. The question the student's asking, how do you know Vihinoyim was said by Moshe Rabbeinu? Maybe we said by Yidin. And therefore, says the Rebbe, Vizero Shashi Moshe, Vuhu Echem Yidat Moshe, Vatilah Moshe. Now, this is why Rashi adds that this Kapitel Tzadik is only one of 11 kapitlach that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Afshazel b'siyum ha-miz Moshe b'tfil la-Moshe atzma y'kenal, even though it itself is at the end of Kapitel Tzadik, which opens up with b'tfil la-Moshe, which would be in our first question. One of the questions we asked was, if we were looking at Kapitel Tzadik Ches, where the Kapitel doesn't open up with b'tfil la-Moshe, then you might have not known that Moshe Rabbeinu said it. It might have been anybody else. It might have been David HaMelech, I'm sorry. But from the fact that this is at the end of Kapitel Tzadik, which opens up with the word Tfilah Moshe, it seems obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu said it. But now it says there, but it's not so obvious. One might have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. Only the beginning part, or whatever it is. But by saying that this is one of the 11, we avoid that. And that forces us to conclude that this line of the Yunayim was also said by Moshe Rabbeinu. How's that? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu only said this one, Afilu Efshalomer Rak Shrakaschalas Moshe Rakaschalas de Moshe. But only the beginning part of Kapitel Tzadik is Moshe. And by Hinoyam, Mashenkin Shivim Shonav Gomer Vesima Mizmor. But when the Pasuk goes on to describe that a person 70 years old or 80 years old, which is not Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe is older than 70 or 80 years old. And then the conclusion, Vihinoyam, who Mashani saw the Moshe, is what the Yidden responded to Moshe. Because the very Medrash, the Medrash says, as we mentioned in the parentheses before. So if only. If Rashi did not highlight that all 11 were said by Moshe Rabbeinu, then you might have thought only the beginning of Kapitel Tzadik was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. But because Rashi tells us, no, all 11 were said by Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore even Tzadik Aleph, Tzadik Beis, all the Kapitel Tzadik were said by Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore it would only make sense that this line, which is at the end of Tzadik, before Tzadik Aleph, was also by Moshe Rabbeinu. Because otherwise it would come out that the first part of Tzadik was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yidin, and then going back to Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. It doesn't flow. It flows much easier to say that from Kapitel Tzadik all the way through Kuf, all 11 are said by Moshe Rabbeinu, until the Pasuk in Kuf Aleph said the David Midbar. And if limited, mitzvah b'nei Yisrael. Now, the question becomes, you just told me in the parentheses, you just told me before, that the Medrash, not Rashi's version of Teres Kohenim, but the Medrash came to the conclusion that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say the end, because the Pasuk says that a person lives Shivim Shana or Shmonim Shama 70 or 80 years, and Moshe Rabbeinu is already older. So how do you address that now? Now, according to Rashi, all of it was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, including this line, which is why Rashi specifically highlighted that this is one of 11, to tell us that all of this was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. So what about that Pasuk which says 70 or 80 years a person lives? Vanemar Shivim Goyim Shmonim Shana. Etc. The pasuk, the psukim there in Tehillim describe that a person, sleeps his way through life. The flow of his life just goes on to sleep, and Hashem puts all the sins in front of a person. The person, his life goes on to describe the negativity of his life because of all of his avedus. So maybe the fact that the person's living 70, 80 is only because of avedus, and not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. That's how you might be able to answer and explain why Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to the years of life as 70, 80 years, 80 years, even though he's much older than 80, because he's referring to the consequence of sin. Now we get to the comparative analysis to the Rashi and Shmini. Now we know why there's the differences between the Rashi as it appears here and as the Rashi is in Shmini. So just to recap, in Parsha Shmini, after the 7 days of Miluim, after the 7 days when Moshe Rabbeinu is erecting the Mishkan and is taking it down and erecting it and taking it down, and finally on the eighth day, he tells the Yidden, gather around, Hashem is going to appear to you, and Moshe and Aaron go and bring a korban, and then they bench the people. And there, the toichin of the bracha is the same, where he says, let it be Hashem's will that the presence of Hashem reside upon us. But there, the order is different, and there's different details that are not the same. Now we're going to address all those details. I think it was three details. So let's see. Mashin emar shom v'yvorach roi esa'om. There, when the pasuk says, and they, the Moshe and Aaron benched Eden, koi v'samuch la'vodis Aaron Moshe, comes right after, and right in connection with, that which Aaron and Moshe did. Never puts in the footnote, Pirish Rashi, Parshasenu, Mem Chavtes, where there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu brought Karbonis on that day. Shemesuk Baruch Lifneze, which is described at length when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were busy doing that day. Valzeh Boa Tchilas HaBracha, and as a result of what they were just doing, that's where the Bracha comes. Vizuah Yisasibas Kol HaBracha, and that was reason for the whole Bracha. Uku Pirish Rashi says, Amru, they said, V'hinoim Hashem Alekenu, Aleinu. May it be the pleasantry of Hashem upon us. Because they were the ones who just did it. They are speaking, and they just did the work. So the first thing they're addressing is the work they just did. Ikre alavodis Aaron and Moshe. It therefore refers specifically to what Moshe and Aaron did. Aaron and Moshe did. V'lo de Moshe b'nei Yisrael k'v'i parsha senu. In our parsha, where it talks about the building of the Mishkan, there, the ikir is ma'isei yadeichem, the work of Yidden, in their efforts in donating, and the artists in building, and then the efforts of Moshe to raise it up, to complete their work. So over there, the ikir is Moshe and Yidden. Whereas over here, what's the primary? Moshe and Aaron, because they just finished working. They just finished inducting the Mishkan by bringing these karbonos. So therefore, the first thing he addresses themselves. Aleinu. Lachem, therefore, Aleph Kosev Rashi Amru. Rashi says, they said. That's saying to them. Because in our Rashi, in our Pasuk, we're after the Yidden gave everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, addressing their concern. They put all that effort. They want to know that the Hashem's presence is going to be there. And therefore, gives a bracha, may be the will of Hashem, that your work bear fruit and Hashem actually reside. But over here, he's not addressing them. He's addressing what he and Aaron just finished doing. And if it doesn't say, Emre Lahem. Because it's not to them. It's Amru. They said about themselves. And therefore, like cost of a Goymer, it doesn't say, etc. Because the rest of the pasuk talks about Ma'aseh Yadeinu, our work. V'yinoim Hashem Elokeinu, Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanan Aleinu. So in our pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Yidden after the Yidden donated, the Iker there is Ma'aseh Yadeinu, that Moshe and Yidden are working together. Iker is the Yidden's work, but the Moshe is completing their work. And therefore, Rashi says the Goyim, look at the rest of the pasuk, where there's Ma'aseh Yadeinu, our work. Moshe includes his work in the work of and the Yidden. But over here, it's not about Moshe and the Yidden. Over here, it's about Moshe and Aaron. And therefore, Ma'aseh Yadeinu, our work, which includes Yidden, is not important here. And therefore, Gamesh HaKadosh, when you know Chashuk, it's Moshe and Aaron. Because the rest of the pasuk, which is talking about Ma'aseh Yadeinu, is a new thing. not the work of Moshe and Aaron, where there it's aleinu on us. So which means the word aleinu actually has two pirushim. In Parshas Pekudei, in our Parsha, where Rashi says, Vehinoi Mashem Alokeinu aleinu on us, it's talking about Moshe and Yidden. Whereas in Parshas Shmini, Moshe says, where they say, Vehinoi Mashem Alokeinu aleinu upon us, talking about Moshe and Aaron. It's a different us. Us, Moshe and Aaron, or us in Shmini, or us, Moshe and the Yidden, in Parshas Pekudei. And because Parshas Pekudei, it's Moshe and the Yidden, where both of them put Maisa Yedehem, they put the work of their hands, therefore it says, V'goyimra, look at the rest of the pasuk where it's Maisa Yedenu. Gimel, Loisayim, V'hu Echad Shebetfilah Moshe. Rashi doesn't mention there that this is one of the words, that this is one of the tefillos of Moshe. Kikan in Kosvar Limosh Omer B'nei Yisrael. Because over there, there's no reason to think that the Yidden said it. In our pasuk, where the Yidden did the bulk of the effort, so you might have thought that Moshe is benching them that let their work bear fruit, and that they therefore are saying, "My said they know our hands." Yidden are speaking about their work, and therefore Rashi has to say, "No, it's talking about our work, Moshe and the Yidden, because it wouldn't make sense that Moshe Rabbeinu leaves himself out of this bracha." Because but over there in Parsha Shmini, where it's talking about the work of Moshe and Aaron, there's no reason to assume that aleinu upon us means Yidden, and therefore it's obvious that Moshe and Aaron are speaking. Whereas we just explained in Parashas Pekudei, we're talking about the work of the Mishkan, where the bulk of it was done by Yidden. There, one might have made the mistake of thinking that Ma'aseh Yedeinu, the work of our hand, is Yidden speaking about themselves, as opposed to Moshe speaking about him and the Yidden. Now, Pisa, based on this movement, Gam Shini, I said that Shemaskel Vehinoya Va'achka Kosev Hiro. So now we know the difference in order. In our Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu benches them, first he says, "Yehi Rotzon, may be the will of Hashem Shtishchashin and Ma'aseh Yedeichem, that the presence of Hashem should rest in your work." And then he says, "Vehinoi Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu." Then he says, "May the pleasantry of Hashem be upon us, including himself." So first addressing Yidden, and then including himself. Whereas in Shmini, first he addresses us, Moshe and Aaron, and then Yidden, as he explains, "Kavod of Aaron and Moshe," because over here the work of Aaron and Moshe, "Noi Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu," which is the first bracha he makes, that may the presence of Hashem be upon us. Moshe and Aaron, what we just finished, Paula, that affected Sha'achakach, that afterwards, Tishrashin and Ma'aseh Yedeichem, that affected and completed the work that the Yidden did. And therefore, as a result of the fact that Hashem is happy, and therefore the presence of Hashem is residing on the work of Aleinu on us, Moshe and Aaron, that brought about the presence of the Shekhinah should rest in the Yidden's work in the Mishkan, the Bnei Yisrael, the Yidden. Therefore, the presence of Hashem rests in the work of your hand of the Yidden. Our Moshe only comes after and as a result of that which Moshe and Aaron did, which is included in the first half of the bracha, because it comes first. As Rashi there continues and concludes, in that same Rashi, after he mentions the bracha, he says, where there it says that after Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan and put it for 7 days straight. Moshe Rabbeinu building it and taking it down and building it and taking it down. Each time he built it, the presence of Hashem didn't reside until finally on the eighth day, the presence of Hashem was there. So only after Moshe Rabbeinu did their karbonis, and if the presence of Hashem rested upon them, aleinu on us, Moshe and Aaron, then Ma'aseh Yedeichem, then the presence of Hashem could be on the work of the Yidden. Whereas in Parshas Pekudei, it's the reverse, where he's talking and thanking, where he's addressing the Yidden's effort in making the Mishkan. First he says, your effort should bear fruit. And then he says, afterwards, Noyim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, include himself also in that, because he's also going to complete their work by erecting it. So this all addresses the Pshat level of Rashi. Now we get to the Rebbe's Hidah. Hidah and Pirish Rashi said, what's the Hidah of, what do we learn out from this Rashi? So Gam La'achish B'Yisrael Kam V'Kol Tzivi Hashem V'Shlemos. Even after the Yidden fulfilled all of that which Hashem requested of them in totality, Nidvas Libam means completion, perfection. Nidvas Libam Shalachal B'Yisrael Lebachas Mishkan. Each person's generous heart to donate to the Mishkan. Ad La'achish Sim V'Shlemos Kol Avedei Shalachach Melib Lebachas Mishkan. And then followed by that was the work done by the artists who made all this stuff for the Mishkan with the materials donated by the Yidden from their goodness of their heart. K'chol Asher Tziva Hashem, completing everything Hashem had asked of them. Adayim lo yuchlu lahakim es ha-mishkan. Nonetheless, they still cannot erect the actual Mishkan. Hutzich lo avi al-Moshe. They have to bring everything to Moshe. Shehu yakim Moshe. That Moshe should erect it. the Gamza Lo Hispika Dayan Achi Varach Oisa Moshe. And even then, it didn't just go straight from them bringing it to Moshe and then Moshe building it. There was a pause in the middle for Moshe to bench them. And only then, when Moshe does a tefillah for them on their behalf, that may be Hashem's will that the presence of Hashem rest upon you, only then could the Shekhinah reside in the work Yidden did. On the one hand. So on the one hand, the Yidden's work in and of itself is incomplete. Even if they do everything they can, it's incomplete until they bring it to Moshe and Moshe benches them. On the one hand. On the other hand, El Moshe, when the Yidden did bring everything they did to Moshe, he knows about Moshe Berchem Kanal. Not only did Moshe bench them, oh, well done. May Hashem grant you that your labor bear fruit, and that the presence of Hashem should rest in what you built. But that's not enough. Eloides, moreover, Moshe calls us Atzma. Moshe then had to add that he himself is part of the bracha. May it be the will of Hashem that the presence of Hashem rest upon us, including Moshe, and our work, Maisi Adenu, our work of both Moshe and Yidden. Moshe includes himself amongst the totality of the Jewish people, but Vaidasim plus him in their work. So on the one hand, Yidden can't do anything on their own, they have to bring it to Moshe. And even if they do everything at the top highest level, they still need to bring it to Moshe, they still need to get Moshe's bracha. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu includes himself amongst the totality of Yidden, amongst Kal Yisrael. And therefore this is the Hidab. There is above this Kal Echad Echad. The same thing is true of the Avodah of each individual. Even after he's completed and concluded everything that Hashem expects of him, Allah later he must know. He still cannot reach his objective. How come it's Mishkan Lo Yisbarach? Making a Mishkan, a personal Mishkan, making your own life a Mishkan, a dwelling place for Hashem. So even if I do everything that's absolutely right, not enough. I still can't erect the Mishkan in my personal life. A person has to bring all of his efforts to Moshe. The extension of Moshe in every generation, ad to l'chak muchal mon to the Rebbe. Kirak hu, because only he, Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation, the Rebbe, the koich of yicholti l'hachem and meleches b'nei Yisrael mishkan lo yisparach. Only by bringing our efforts and dedicating them to Moshe, bringing them to Moshe, as it were, only then can our work bear fruit and actually make a mishkan a home for Hashem. As the pasuk says, because Moshe Rabbeinu stands between the Yidden and Hashem, he is the intermediary that connects a Yidden to Hashem, and therefore a Yid can do everything he can, but still he has to take all of his efforts and dedicate it to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, bring it to the Rebbe. And even after Moshe Rabbeinu's involvement, the Shekhinah is still not there. The Ma'is of the Bnei Yisrael. In the work of what the Yidden do, Acha Moshe Rabbeinu Birach Oisem, only until Moshe benches them. So first of all, the Yid has to bring everything that he does to the Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu benches him, and then his work is complete. But Oisis Pshutas, in simple language, Kol Lechad Vechem Yisrael, each and every Yid, in Kol Ma'loisa with all of his great values and virtues, Babadasa in all of his work, a lovely is Dovuk V'Karsha L'Spashusha the Moshe, he must be bound up and connected with the extension of Moshe with the Rebbe, specifically through the Rebbe, that's how we can connect to Hashem. And if one needed a proof from Nigla, this sounds too Hasidic, says there, Mechilta al Pasuk. The Mechilta says, the Medrash says on the Pasuk, and he didn't believe in Hashem and he believed in Moshe. Says the Medrash, anybody who has faith in Moshe, as if he has faith in Hashem. That's a clear indication in Nigla that a person's faith in Hashem comes through his faith in Moshe. And therefore a Yid, notwithstanding all of his work, notwithstanding all of his virtues, must be connected to the Moshe Rabbeinu for all of his virtues to bear fruit. He said to him, moreover, everything that a Yid has, each individual Yid, him begashmis, whether physically, him beruchnis, spiritually, tulim, him benasi, all depend on the nasi, the leader, the Rebbe. The gamze, eina inyan and emirak b'kabbalah chsidus. This too, this idea that a person's life is dependent on the nasi, dependent on the Rebbe, is not also not something that's uniquely Kabbalistic or Hasidic idea. L'mafurashu g'b'gemara, it's also in the Gemara. The Gemara says in b'b'kama, mishi yesh le'echoy l'b'beisa, one who has a sick person in his home, yelech etzel chacham, b'vakash l'v'rachman, go to the chacham. Go to the tzaddik, go to the Rebbe, and ask for a brach. Ask him that he should daven for you. and ask for pity? Hainu, shachayla, one who's sick, him begufay, whether he's physically sick, him begufay, chas v'shalom, whether he's spiritually sick, God forbid. And what does he mean that he's sick? Shadayin chas ha'shtemis b'avodas l'kanei, that he's not absolutely perfect in the service of Hashem. Look in footnote 30. Va'ah, to the point, shachayla begamakhtim memtes. Chayla, the word chayla, which is the word for sick, equals 49. 8 plus 6 plus 30 plus 5. So why is he sick if he's 49? What's the connection? Because he's missing the 50th level. Is that ir lo yachol? And that's why he's sick. So in other words, a person's incomplete in the service of Hashem doesn't mean somebody who's chas v'shalom mamish far from the service of Hashem. But even a person who's at the 49th level, he's missing the 50th level. He's missing some nuanced top level. Even that person's a chayil, and even he too has to connect to the Rebbe to get healed. So ein dai lo b'zeh, back in the pinim, ein dai lo b'zeh shu atzmai. It's not that he himself, or he's a lost in b'beiser, or somebody else, yivakar shachem l'trufa, that he should ask Hashem. L'mach losa b'gash misa v'ruchnius, for a sickness, whether physical or spiritual. El tzerach l'tfilo se shal chacham. He needs the chacham to daven for him. V'hi yapeeles liyeis v'shever rafalai. And he is the one who effectuates that Hashem should grant healing to that yid. So that's first of all. That the Yid, as great as he is, as much as he's done, will only truly feel, only truly connect to Hashem if all of his Avodah is dedicated and brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. Elisha based Noyim Baza. But there are two conditions to this. Number one, Chacham. The Gemara says that a person who has a sick person should bring it to a Chacham. That's the way the Rebbe, that's the way the Tzaddik is described as a Chacham. Who's a Chacham? Says the Gemara in Talmud. There's a Chacham by Reyes and Elud. Who is the Chacham? The one who sees that which is that which will happen as a result of, you know, sees the future, not in the sense that he not that he's in the sense that he sees the future, but that he sees the simple meaning is that a wise person is one who sees the results of actions, results of things that will happen, not just seeing what's in front of him, but seeing the results of these things. And the Alter Rebbe has actually more than one pirush in Tanya on this line, but one of them is a pirush and Morzak, and the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya. Shared, what's the Chacham who sees the Noilad, sees that which is going to come out of it. The term in the Gemara is Noilad, that which is born. That's the word used to describe that the person is smart enough to see the outcome. So says the Alter Rebbe, Shadoi is a dover, I said, Dvar Hashem, Shemoyled Mishava, Kol Anivrem Chorag. That what does he see in the physical world? He doesn't see the physical. When he looks at the physical world, he sees the divine energy invested in that, the words of Hashem, Dvar Hashem, the divine energy invested in that item to keep it going, which gives birth to it, as it were. Because what he sees is the divine energy invested in everything. He doesn't see the physicality of things. He doesn't see the materialism, nor its gashmius. Gashmius being a little higher level than chumrius. More subtle. More sublime. He sees the truth of everything. And therefore, right? When I look at things, I see a table, I see wood, I see a plastic cup, and I see liquid water. But a tzaddik, a rebbe, sees Dvar Hashem. Everything he looks at doesn't see the materialism of it. He sees the divine energy invested in that thing. And therefore, l'chein, first of all, he could truly see what's happening, because that's the truth. The only truth is Hashem. The divine energy invested in everything is the only reality, is the true reality. And therefore, because he sees that, he sees the truth, the absolute truth. Number one. And therefore he's capable of actually beseeching of Hashem and getting the healing that this yid needs, whether it be gashmis or ruchnis. Because what he sees is the divine energy, Dvar Hashem. And therefore he can manipulate, change the formula of a divine energy as invested in this particular place, and therefore fix it. The Gemara says about Rav Chanina ben Doisa, and when his daughter was, I think it was his daughter, maybe it was his wife, but his daughter, I think, was upset that they only had vinegar and they couldn't light Shabbos candles. So he told her, what are you worried about? The same one who said that the oil should burn, well, let him say that the vinegar should burn, that the vinegar should burn a flame. So what this really means is that the Chanimim Mendoza had the capacity to look at the divine energy that gives oil, that gives vinegar its properties. He knows the divine energy invested in oil to give its properties, and he can make that the divine energy invested in this vinegar will give it the properties of burning. In the same way, a physical doctor uses medicine to manipulate the chemicals or whatever it is the imbalance of making the person sick. The tzaddik does the beruchnius. Whatever divine energy is invested in this thing, which presents itself as being sick, if the Rebbe manipulates the divine energy invested in that, it now can become healed. Because that's its life. Its life comes from the Dvar Hashem. Its life comes from the divine energy. So if he can contact and make the shanet tzirufim, that's the lashon Rebbe uses here, to change the combinations, to change the formula that brings this thing into being as a sick thing, change the formula to make it into a healed and healthy thing. That's condition number one, that the Rebbe is a chacham. A chacham not just smart, but a chacham who sees the truth, sees divine energy in everything, and therefore A, knows the truth of what the problem is, and B, can access the truth of what keeps that thing going so that the energy invested in it heals him rather than, as it presents itself now, being someone who's sick. Begashmis uberuchnius. Condition number two. Chacham tzarech liyes bi'ir. The Gemara says you have to go to bring yelich etzel chacham. The solution from the Rama. I'm sorry. You have to go to the local tzaddik. So what does it mean, the local tzaddik? Not that he has to be in your town, but she ain't a sugar is asking b'dala moisav. That this is the kind of tzaddik who doesn't lock himself up in his own four cubits. He's be'ir. He's amongst the people. Even though when he locks himself up in his own room, he's studying Torah, v'tfila, and davening, v'sharan yonam na'alam, and other lofty things, whatever he's doing. Rather, ki imotzi v'tach yusei shal ha'ir. He has to be kind of tzaddik who's amongst the people, amongst the cities, in the ear. U'mosel l'kol ochad b'nei Yisrael hanem tzoyim bo. And he's completely and fully dedicated to the people amongst whom he lives. U'lechem b'akash rechelam l'yam rachmim. And that's why he can actually daven for them, because he empathizes with them. He lives along with them. He lives amongst them. He's not secluded in his own spiritual life. Footnote 36. The same thing is true of each individual, not just the Rebbe himself. Meaning the Rebbe, who's the Chacham, who's this person who sees the truth, sees the divine energy invested in everything. He has to be be'ir, he has to be invested and living and empathetic and dedicated to all the people, to the Yidin. And the same thing is true of every Yid. Pchinas Chacham Shabai, the level of the Yid which is akin to Chacham, Vahu, Ha'amun Shabaklacham Yisrael, Shabachinas Chacham Shabai Nefesh, as Tanya explains in Perek Yud Ches and Yates, that the Amun of a Yid, the Mesiris Nefesh, the part of the Yid which is existentially connected to Hashem, is the level of Chachma. So that Chachma, that part of me which is intrinsically and inherently connected to Hashem, this emunah, tzarech lispi'er k'tana za'aguf, has to pervade the city. What's the city? The city is the body. Sheyar b'kol chayisav l'vushar nefesh shaloi, that the emunah should shine, should give life, should pervade all of my life. I'm not just saying, you know, there's some part of me that has faith in Hashem, and the rest of my life I live independent of that faith. But rather, the part of me that has that faith for Hashem ready should pervade all the rest of my being and all the rest of my reality. Now back to the Pnim, we never talked about the Tuchnoyim for the Tzaddik. That the Tzaddik has to be A, someone who's Royas Anoilad, who sees the divine energy invested in everything and therefore can see the truth and therefore can reconfigure the divine energy so that it heals this person. And B, it's Be'ir. It's a kind of Tzaddik who lives amongst the people, is with the people, and connects to the people and dedicates to the people. These two things correspond to the two things we mentioned that we learned from Rashi, namely, these two conditions are correspondent to the two ideas that we mentioned before with respect to Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael in relation to them donating and bringing their stuff and the kelim to them for the Mishkan. Donating and building. In order for it to be complete, They had to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? They donated and they built. Moshe had to erect it. Shuhaya Chacham. He was the Chacham. Haroya Yisrael, the shepherd of Eden. As everyone puts in the footnotes, Moshe Medrigas Chachma. Number one, they had to bring it to Moshe. Beis, Moshe calls Atma Yachad Kal Yisrael. So first of all, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate Chacham. Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik, was able to see the truth of everything, the Dvar Hashem. And therefore, the first thing they did is they brought it to him. But what kind of tzaddik is Moshe Rabbeinu? Not the kind of tzaddik who separates it from the Yidden, but actually includes himself with the Yidden. And therefore, in his first, he benches the Yidden, Ma'asi Adeichem, let the handiwork of your work be successful. But then he says, Ma'asi Adeinu, V'inoy Moshe Malkeinu Aleinu, may the presence of Hashem be upon us, including him, amongst the people. Like a proper Rebbe who's dedicated and connected to his to Yidden. Ches. But before the Yidden brought anything to Moshe Rabbeinu, first it says that the Yidden did every single thing Hashem asked. Hainu mean to say. Before Moshe's involvement, Ubrachosei and his bracha, Kvar nigmira kol v'es mishkan hamutalim mitzidom hari b'tzach Hashemus. Before Moshe Rabbeinu involves himself, and before Moshe Rabbeinu benches them, the first thing is the Yidden have to do everything to the max of their capacity. As far as their efforts concerned, they've completely, fully exerted and maxed out their effort. V'rak oz, and only after the Yidden completely, fully maxed out their effort, hishtatav Moshe imam, then Moshe becomes joins them and brings it to a completion by seizing Mishkan Berach Oisam and erecting the Mishkan and benching them. And this is the same thing is true of the avoid of every Yid. In order for the Moshe Rabbeinu of every generation, in order for the Rebbe to include himself in what you are doing and what we as a Chassidim are doing, we as Yidden are doing, in order for the Rebbe's bracha to come, Adam, the person merits that. Only when the Jew, the individual Yid, has maxed out his capacity. When I have done everything I possibly can, then the Rebbe will take my work to a new level. And then the Rebbe benches the work. Similar to that which the Pasuk says, that a person has to work, push in business, in making a parnasa, or whatever the person's work is, he has to do work, and then Hashem will bench him in what he does. But if he doesn't do anything, there's no way for Hashem to bench him in parnasa. So likewise, the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Moshe Rabbeinu's investment and inclusion in what you're doing only comes when the Yid does everything he possibly can. Like the Yidin who maxed out the potential, and only then Moshe Rabbeinu managed them, and only then Moshe Rabbeinu completed it. Refuas Moshe HaChacham, the healing of Moshe, the Chacham. Barak Yimachayla, only the sick person, the individual Yid, Osa Gam Pu'ulis Tivis Atal Apiya Torah, does that which the Torah expects him to do as a Chayla. Kedrash says, the apostle says, "Verapper yirapper." The healer should heal. Mekashim that the shushla roif for the rapper. From here, we have permission from the Torah that the Yidden, that a doctor is allowed to heal. In other words, before a person throws his sickness onto the tzaddik and says, "You fix me," first and first has to exert all of the natural means that Hashem provides him and put all of his effort into getting as best as he possibly can, and then the Rebbe can bench him and join in his work. But if the Yid didn't complete working in the, didn't exert every possible effort he has in building and doing the Mishkan, on his part he still has more he can get done. Similar to that which the Fidik Rebbe said, there are chassidim who are limited to times of stress. The Be'esha toiv lahem, when things are good for them, in boyim, they don't come to the Rebbe. The Rebbe puts boyim in quotations, meaning they don't connect to the Rebbe, they don't plug in. Shmatim aleim shlichus, when they're expected to do some work, b'fatzamayonis and spreading Yiddishkeit, and mishtamitim, they're nowhere to be found. But only all of a sudden, when things are the stress, Rachman al God forbid, boy, in between, they come requesting shatzichim life, they need the Rebbe to perform a miracle. In other words, the chassid can't just be the person who comes to the Rebbe when things aren't okay and he's asking him to fix it. But on the contrary, the Yid puts all of his effort completing to the max of what he can possibly do, and then takes all of that and brings it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he can be taken to a whole new level. But if they don't do that, if the person isn't exerting his effort to the max he possibly can, then this person is not a proper conduit, proper recipient to be able to receive Moshe Rabbeinu's investment, Moshe Rabbeinu's hishtatvus, his partnership with you, and his bracha. Ulam however, kshibreisa lo'ed mevedasam k'dabayi, when a yid does everything he has to, in a proper way, betachas shemus, absolute perfection, kefi yecholtem him, to the best of their capacity. And then, boyim al Moshe Rabbeinu, boyim al and then they come to Moshe Rabbeinu in a proper way, by munah, with faith. As you mentioned before from the Mechilta, on the Pasuk which says, and they believe the Moshe, and they believe in Hashem, they believe the Moshe, proper faith in Moshe, that's the way the person approaches to get the proper faith in Hashem, to get the Moshe Rabbeinu Shutfus. And they ask, then, when a person does everything he can, and he comes with the proper approach of Amunah and Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu can become a partner in the Yid's work, and Moshe Rabbeinu will include himself in our work, including him and the Yidin together. And then the Rebbe can help each individual Yid in his work and serving Hashem, taking him to new heights. And after Moshe Rabbeinu's partnership with in the work of all Yidden, then Moshe Rabbeinu can effectuate that the blessing of Hashem, that the presence of Hashem dwell in our handiwork, Shakal Yisrael, Moshe B'Toicham, of all Yidden, including Moshe Rabbeinu, and this brings each individual Yid to the absolute, true, real perfection.